Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all, and come from far-flung places like Liverpool and so on. It's really lovely to see you all. It's a great pleasure to be able to lead today's service, and thank you for your prayers for me and for Leslie, and for many others in the church who've had difficult things to go through. And it's great to be part of a loving family. And we've got as the head. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your father heart that reaches out to all of us and welcomes us with open arms. We thank you for your great love. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would show us Jesus today. Amen. Last week was Pentecost, focus on the Holy Spirit. Next week, Peter's going to be speaking about the Father heart of God, the God's love. And today we're focusing on Jesus. So there we have the Trinity, the Spirit, Jesus, and the Father. And a couple of notices. I do like to get notices in. Firstly, Grace asked me a very good question. What's happening with the front wall? Thank you, David and others, and Mark and others who've been organising to get the front wall redecorated. Looks great, and it's blank. It's ready. And what will be going back there and added to what was there before, it'll be saying, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's the key thing. And then the verse, the reference. But that's the key thing, that it's all about Jesus. The get my words out. It looks as though the funeral service for Betty Harris will be here on Thursday the 22nd of June at 10 o'clock, but that will be confirmed during the week, but just to let you know. We're still waiting to hear news of Jean Elizabeth. Jean Elizabeth had a stroke before, which had limited her mobility, but during the week she had a severe stroke from which she's not expected to recover. So she's sleeping peacefully. The family have been with her, with each other, in a very close way. The staff have looked after them very carefully and lovingly. And so we're in that waiting time. And Jean, who was here only a couple of weeks ago, being wheeled around by her son Malcolm, and his wife, and then there's Lindsay as her daughter, her abiding delight was to be here. So as I'm looking around the room, and anybody listening, are you pleased to be here?
Yes.
Are you pleased to be here? Are you pleased to be here? Yes. And Jean would love to be here if she could. But she's on her way to glory to see Jesus face to face. And we're in that in-between time, a very strange time. Advance notice of church meeting. Tuesday week, the 13th of June. It's going to be a really good church meeting. The last two have been really buzzing and great fun. And I don't see any reason why this will be any different. We're going to be focusing particularly on making disciples. I think Jesus told us to do that. Is that the idea? So we're going to be focusing particularly on that. Do come, everyone, whether you're a church member or not, if you're a regular member of the church family, come along. See what a church meeting's all about, but particularly we're going to be discerning together how we make disciples today. I think that's it in terms of notices. Just to say that when we come together, God does not expect us to come as some superhuman or super perfect people. He expects us to come just as we are. And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. He expects us and invites us to come as we are, not only physically, but also spiritually. If we've messed up this week, really big time, and if we've messed up today, I've already had to apologize to someone today, and no doubt there'll be someone else to apologize before either the end of the service or before the end of the day. We can come just as we are. And that's so important. God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't wait till we were good before loving us. He invited us to come as we are because he gave himself for us when we were still sinners. And therefore, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's decision to send Jesus for us while we were still sinners, therefore, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You've done step one. You're physically here, or you've turned the computer on to listen. So well done. You've done your first act of worship. You've presented your body here. And now it's as a living sacrifice. And the reason why I was particularly drawn to this scripture today is that, as you can probably hear, my voice is a little bit lower than normal, a bit croaky. I can't sing as high or anywhere near as strongly as before. Does that mean I can't lead worship?
No.
No. It's just I lead worship without some of the abilities I had before. This is why Claire has offered to help sing the singing, and Leslie today, she's really making a sacrifice in putting herself where you can all see her. It's much more comfortable behind the piano. So Leslie is presenting her body as a living sacrifice. She will not sing perfectly. There'll be a bit of squeaky notes, won't there? We're both going to be squeaking together. But we hope that our squeaks will be of help to you to squeak in worship. And who here is brave enough to say they sing out of tune? Have a good look. Please have a good look. Oh, look, there's a half hand. Come on, who sings out of tune? Have a good look. For those who are listening to this on the recording, more than half of the congregation have now put their hands up. I didn't know that. Now, I've been worshipping with you for 5 years. I didn't know that. Why didn't I know that? Because it's not important. I love standing next to someone giving it welly in worship who can't sing a note. Why? Why? Why is that a delight? It's the heart. I read a long time ago, I'm not sure if it's true, but it's really helpful. God doesn't really hear our music. He doesn't really hear the singing. It's drowned out by the love in our hearts. Oh. So if you've got love in your heart for the Lord, just a little, and you want to see it grow today, then just give it some. Isn't that a lovely thought? Oh. Right, I'm up for it now. So it's great, it's a freedom, isn't it? Squeaks away, we're going to worship. Let's pray again. Lord, we do thank you for the freedom that you have given us to worship you in spirit and truth, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. And we pray, Lord, yes, you will anoint our worship, that you will loosen our tongues. But particularly, Lord, you will help us by your Spirit to express our love for you. Amen.
During our time of worship, as always, feel free to sit or stand. Feel free to use the instruments, the banners. If God gives you a word, a scripture, a prayer, then bring that for us, because this is worship in which we all play our part. And it's all focused on Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Creation's voice proclaims it.
Jesus is Lord, creation's first begun. For by his power each tree and bud was formed and made. Jesus is Lord, the universe begun. Sun, moon, and stars in heaven.
Rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted. The King is exalted on high. These are words of decoration and of truth. We're telling them to Jesus. We're telling them to the world, ourselves, anybody who will listen. But we're also now invited not just to declare truth, but to adore and address Jesus. Our two songs we've sung have been wonderful truths about who Jesus is. But now we're invited to come and address him. We are addressing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our loving Saviour. Jesus, we enthrone you. Thank you. Ursula. Lord, it is your Holy Spirit that has shown us who Jesus is. It's your Holy Spirit that has given us new birth that we might praise and worship you as your children, as forgiven sinners, as a new creation. Lord, we give you praise. Jesus, Jesus, holy and anointed one. Jesus, Lord, you've shown us your love and you've given us love for you. Struggle sometimes with the notes singing Jesus, I love you, I love you, but we struggle with using such intimate words. It seems almost irreverent or disrespectful. These words are so misused in our society, our culture. But Jesus, it's what you want to hear, that we love you. It's what you asked Peter after he'd sinned and you just restored him so gently as you asked him, do you love me? I do believe the Lord is asking each of us today, do you love me? It's not a test. It's not a criticism. It's an invitation. I love you. Do you love me? In the quietness of your heart, tell Jesus your feelings for him. Therefore, in view of God's great mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable, for this is your spiritual act of worship. And give him your love today. Amen. We express love for the Lord in our voices, in our hearts, and in our offering. We're going to take up our offering now. For those who give through the bank or in other ways, as the bag goes past, do grab hold of it. And so you have that sense of, yes, this is for you, Jesus, if that's helpful for you. For visitors, as usual, we always say we'd just love to see you. If you want to give us an act of worship, well then please do. But don't feel in any way compelled to. Thank you, Stuart.
I don't know why I've turned it off, I'm sorry. Is that better? Good. It's very difficult for a sound man to turn the sound up if you haven't put the microphone on, so my great apologies. We would love to do more with our children on a Sunday morning, but we are limited at the moment. Andrew's faithfully working with the children. We'll be doing that next week. Rowena, I know, will be loving to get back to working with our children on Sunday, but we do need more. So as a couple of church meetings ago, Peter Bottrell asked us, said, pray, you know, pray for the Lord. So we're praying for more people to work with our young people. But for the time being, you're stuck with us in here. And therefore, what we'd love you to do is to do something that's linked in with our service. And what I want you to do today is something I've never asked you to do before. So Lexi at the back there, I've got you in my sight, and I've got Connie here. He is exalted. What does exalted mean? Do you know what exalted means? No. Lexi, do you know what exalted means?
No.
Who'd like to tell Lexi and Connie what exalted means?
It means lifted up on high.
Lifted up on high. So we've been worshipping Jesus on high. We're seeing him on high in his throne in heaven. And what I'd like you to do this morning, children, whichever way you want to do this, I'd like you to do a picture of Jesus on high, lifted up on high. Now, on earth, he went up to the top of a mountain. One time he went to the top of the mountain and his face was completely changed. Mount of Transfiguration. So he goes up on mountains lifted high. The word lifted up in those times meant being lifted up on a cross. So Jesus was on high on a mountain and he was on high on a cross. But now, where is Jesus?
down really high. Who looked up at the planes yesterday? Who looked up at the planes? You looked up on high and saw the red arrows.
Yeah.
And going on high. Well, Jesus ascended on high. So you could even do a drawing of Jesus ascending way above us. Or Jesus on high in heaven. Okay, so Jesus on high. However you want to do it. And adults, as usual, there are paper and pens here. And if while Andrew's preaching, if you want to do a painting, a drawing, please do, because it's really helpful for some of us to do that. So let's have our reading from Zechariah.
Our reading this morning is Zechariah chapter 5, the whole chapter, starting at verse 1. That can be found on page 952 in the church Bibles, 952. I looked again, and there before me was a flying scroll. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a flying scroll, 20 cubits long and 10 cubits wide." And he said to me, "This is the curse that is going out over the whole land, for according to what it says on one side, every thief will be banished, and according to what it says on the other, everyone who swears falsely will be banished. The Lord Almighty declares, I will send it out, and it will enter the house of the thief, and the house of anyone who swears falsely by my name. It will remain in that house and destroy it completely, both its timbers and its stones." Then the angel who was speaking to me came forward and said to me, "Look up and see what is appearing." I asked, "What is it?" He replied, "It is a basket." And he added, "This is the iniquity of the people throughout the land." Then the cover of lead was raised, and there in the basket sat a woman. He said, "This is wickedness." And he pushed her back into the basket and pushed its lead cover down on it. Then I looked up, and there before me were two women with the wind in their wings. They had wings like those of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between heaven and earth. "Where are they taking the basket?" I asked the angel who was speaking to me. He replied, "To the country of Babylonia to build a house for it. When the house is ready, the basket will be set there in its place."
Andrew's got a really interesting and really simple passage to preach on, hasn't he? Thank you for the way that you led Andrew to bring out what you want brought out from this passage today. Lord, we want your word sown deep in our hearts, and we pray that you bless Andrew as he brings the word you've given him. Amen.
As we continue looking at Zechariah, as David shared last week, visions are of God, and when God wanted to share a revelation. So we look at the visions now shown to Zechariah. The first thing is a flying scroll. It's possible it's the only time in Scripture a scroll is seen flying. The other thing is that there was writing on both sides. Normally a scroll would have writing on one side. We're not told why it was flying, who was holding it up. That's not important. We are given its measurements, 20 cubits long and 10 cubits wide, or 9 metres by 4.5 metres. If you want to know what that is today, from the back entrance to the back wall to the organ, give or take a centimetre, and from the back wall to the front row. So it was a fairly impressive scroll. The most important thing about any scroll is what was written on it. And it was this one, a curse over the whole land. Every thief will be banished. Everyone who swears falsely will be banished. The Lord will do it, and it will enter the house of the thief, and everyone who swears falsely, it will remain in the house, destroying the timbers and stones. These were two of the Ten Commandments which Zechariah would have known about in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. You shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. Then in verses 6 to 11, he sees a measuring basket. It's told it's the iniquity of all the people throughout the whole land. Then the wickedness sits up, and she's pushed back down into the lid is put back on, and the basket carried to Babylonia. The woman, the basket, and the lid were associated with wickedness. They were images of greed, materialism, and dishonesty for profit. And the two questions that we have is, what is God saying? What can we do? The first thing, what is God saying? God cannot stand sin. When we go back to the Garden of Eden, God walked with Adam and Eve. And it's only when we get to Genesis chapter 3, God was calling to Adam. Adam replied, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from? After that, temptation and sin has been in the world. It's the one thing that separates us from God. There's lots of good people in the world doing lots of good things. But in the Bible it says, we have all sinned, Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you know that's a very difficult passage? There's so many good people doing so much good, and yet sin is in their lives. No matter how good a good person is, this sin. As we look at the world and the words Jesus spoke about the last days, wars, rumours of wars, nation against nation, we see it happening. But Paul in 2 Timothy 3 puts his last days down, and it's about individuals. And when you read the list, it goes against who Jesus was. I'll read them. Paul says, in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. If we take one of them, lovers of money, when you watch TV adverts now, there's nearly always one set of adverts for an online bingo company, a lottery, always one about a gambling. Or when going to town, there are slot machine places, bookmakers, lottery and scratch cards freely available. It's easy in today's society of cost of living crisis when you see all those adverts We're showing normal, everyday people jumping up for joy because they've got a big check. Just how addictive gambling can be. Years ago, I knew someone that worked in a bookmaker's, and you get different stories. And they told me this one that stayed with me. About a week before Christmas, a man just went into the bookmaker's and started playing the slot machines. Didn't think anything of it, it's normal. After a while, he left, then he went back to the shop. And he said, can I have some of the money back that I put in? Well, of course, the person you've freely put in. Only he said, that was my children's Christmas present money. Then it happened. So easy to become addicted. It can lead to marriage and relationship breakups, house repossessions. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6, 24, 25. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Money everywhere. But when you look through that list Paul said, most of them are happening today.
So the next
thing is, what can we do? Know that we can't get rid of sin ourselves. Know that it was God who sent Jesus to pay the price for us. Sin is a word that you hardly hear used today. If you ask people what sin is, they either don't know or it's connected with bad people, murderers, rapists, etc. If you ask a base sin, the answer is probably no. They think they lead a good life like we saw earlier. If you're not sure how to pray, one of the things you can start praying is for the Holy Spirit to start convicting men and women of sin. It's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, and that's in John 16, verse 9, to convict men of sin. At Jesus' birth, we read that he was going to take away the sin of the world. Matthew 1, 21, the angel to Joseph, she, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Or when John saw Jesus in John 1, verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Do you know your sins have been forgiven? Have you acknowledged Jesus as Lord and Saviour? On June the 25th, we have a baptismal service where you go under the water for a brief moment, but come up knowing your sins have been washed away. If you feel God's challenging you about baptism, then see Stephen after the service or at a convenient time. If you're not sure what happens at a baptismal service, then come along on the 25th to see what happens when someone has their sins washed away. Baptism is a fulfilling of the words of Jesus. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, Peter declared Jesus as Lord and Saviour. The people said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. Forgiveness and baptism go together. Or in the hymn, My Lord, What Love Is This, verse 3 has the line, come wash your guilt away, live again. The last part of the reading was when wickedness was carried off to Babylonia. And I just wonder if God had shown Zechariah a glimpse of heaven where there is no wickedness. In Revelation, we're given a list of those not in heaven, the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. It's not easy following Jesus today, as David shared last week. But a hymn that can help us is "There is a Redeemer." The chorus is, "Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done." Are you asking the Holy Spirit to help you daily live a life worthy of the calling of Jesus? As we leave here, there are two paths we can go on. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." As we come to communion, know it is only by the grace of God we can have our sins forgiven. As I leave, do you know Jesus? Do you know your sins have been washed away by his precious blood?
Thank you, Andrew. Let's have an opportunity to respond to what Andrew's brought us. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us are given the free choice to renounce sin, to say we want nothing more to do with it, and that we want to be forgiven. I'm going to pray a prayer that we often have during our communion service. I've just brought it forward a little bit earlier today. And if this is your desire, then say that amen at the end. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, we want nothing more to do with sin. Our sin cost you your life. It was for our sins that you went to the cross. It was our sins that nailed you there. You could have come down at any time, but you chose to go through it because it was the only way that we could be forgiven and set free. We thank you, Jesus, that you lived up to your calling, your name, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing that song there, a beautiful song, "Behold the Lamb Who Bears Our Sins Away."
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and to drink of this sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King. The blood that cleanses every stain of sin, shed for you. Drink and remember, he drank this cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we shall. And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body.
It's the most beautiful expression, isn't it? Come round the table of the King. And that's the invitation today, is for you to come around the table of the King. It's always lovely when you're invited to someone's house for a meal and the table is set and you're invited to come and sit round the table. And Janine, thank you for laying the table for us. And Jesus is the host. And he says, come to my table. Here is a trustworthy saying, Paul writes to Timothy, that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We are all invited to this meal. If we have asked Jesus to forgive us, we are forgiven. If we want to say thank you to Jesus for dying for us, for giving his life, his body and his blood, then we are welcome to take part in this meal. No need to hold back. Children, as usual, have a word with mum, dad, whoever brought you. And if you believe in Jesus, I want to say thank you to him for what he's done for you. Then do join in the meal. So this wonderful invitation. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and you want to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for he is alive and we are his body. Paul was given a vision, the words, we don't know how, but Jesus somehow told him what happened on that first night when he started the communion meal, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, the various different words we have, all for the same meal. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This meal is meant to be a really simple thing, not complicated. The body and the blood of Jesus, that in a mystery we receive through faith as we celebrate this meal. Dee's going to lead us in a prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. As we reflect on the great sacrifice of your Son made for us on the cross, for our salvation, we thank you. As we take the bread and the wine, let us remember the price Jesus paid for our redemption, freeing all those who put their trust in him from condemnation and eternal punishment, and bringing us into a personal relationship with you. Had he not been obedient and gone to the cross for us, we would be without hope. But we can rejoice and remember what Jesus did on the cross, has set us all free, knowing we belong to him, knowing our sins are forgiven, and we have assurance of eternal life with you. For this we humbly thank you. Amen. Amen.
So we're going to give out the bread and the wine. And each of us has the opportunity to take the bread and eat it. And then as hold on to the cups so we can drink them together. Take this bread in remembrance that Christ died for us, and we feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit light give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you've set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we come to the end of our service, it's always good to pray for others. Andrew's given us a very clear picture of what the world is like, and we know. We experience it every day. Just going to start with a prayer that came from the prayer we had last week at our Pentecost service. And I just wanted to pray the same prayer again, because we always need the Holy Spirit to pray. And as I've finished praying, if there's a particular person, a particular situation on your heart, as you hear these words, do pray. We pray for ourselves and for your whole church, that we might be open to the empowering presence of your Spirit, open to the gracious gifting of your Spirit, and open to the adventurous leading of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, as you filled those first Christians with an enthusiasm for the gospel of Christ, so enthuse us that we go out into the streets and marketplaces of our world preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you bless the brothers and sisters of ours who, from Great Plants Church, who are out yesterday and out today at the air show, giving out gospels, giving out Christian leaflets to the many hundreds of people that will come by. Lord, we thank you for what went out last year. We know that your word went out and it will go out again today. We thank you for them and pray you bless them with courage and wisdom to know what to give and to who. Amen.
Father, I pray for my friend Jenny in the dreadful shock she had this week. Father, she knows you, but her path ahead is unsure. But I pray that she'll know that you are with her every step of the way, no matter what each day brings, that you are there. You are watching out for her, and you have her best interests at heart. Just love her, we pray, wrap your arms around her.
Needs. May we know your peace at this time, and help you with the situation.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for the great Christian witness of so many of our brothers and sisters who work in care homes and other places looking after people. Lord, we can see you in their eyes. Thinking about going to Primary Court this week, we know there are many there who, as we leave worship, they respond so joyfully. So, Lord, we do pray particularly for our brothers and sisters that they will be good examples, they will be salt and light in the care homes and other places where they are caring, and that they will draw others to you. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now I'm going to sing our final song, which Andrew referred to earlier on, which is There Is a Redeemer. Trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.